Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPJ number 116. That's Bais Pnimi joint shiur for men and women, shiur number 16. In the book, Setting a Table for Two, there's a chapter on marital intimacy. In truth, there's a discussion in an entire book that we already did regarding marital intimacy. And a lot of what is written in this chapter was discussed there, but we're going to go through this. It may have points here that was not there, or it's good to chazer regardless. But like he says over here, this is not a discussion pertaining to the halachas of Taras HaMishpacha or the philosophy behind it. He says there's many other books that talk about that. It's basically confined to very important short comments, observations regarding these rules as a vehicle to express many lessons that will enhance overall shalom bayis in reference to the entire dynamic of the relationship as discussed in this entire book that we went into detail about. And just based on what you see here, these two books by Avraham Peretz Friedman is fundamental to understand in a marriage. Now, the goal of a Jewish marriage is for the two individuals to become one couple, that two incomplete halves form a united whole. Makes it very clear, though, that every spouse individually is an individual, is a klal, is a yochid, rather, is a oilam b'fnei atzmai, is a world unto themselves. And each one, husband, wife, individually, need their individualistic path as well for his own personal shleimus, her own personal shleimus. Psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, marriage doesn't absolve us from the responsibility to pursue our own personal growth and fulfillment. It doesn't contradict it either. That is called Hayochid HaTzarech LeKlal. We talked about this a lot. We're one, we're a team, we're united, but at the same time, we each have an individual path as well, and we respect that. And, of course, sexual intimacy is that fuel for this work. It does accelerate the process of this union more than any other aspect of marriage. When sexual intimacy is conducted according to the laws of the Torah, according to the guidelines of the Torah, with the proper Taras HaMishpacha, then it has that power to unite two separate beings into fulfilling the Torah's wish that they become one. If intimacy is engaged by the couple according to the Torah's instructions, according to the Torah's way of guiding us of how to go about it, then it produces what he calls a devek, which is that glue that binds together a husband and wife in the most powerful way, that there's nothing more powerful than that. Not every sexual intimacy has this power. It's only the Torah kind of intimacy that has this power. The intimacy, quote-unquote, as practiced in the non-Torah world and in the secular world, does not have that power, does not have that glue, does not have that oneness. Because the intimacy that's not in accordance to Torah encourages self-centeredness on one hand, a selfishness on one hand, on the other hand, a certain excess shame that does not possess the power of creating this devek, this connection of being one. Sexuality as it's understood in the outside world, as it's celebrated and practiced in the outside world, produces unhealthy attitudes about oneself, about relationships. It actually tears couples apart. The sexual intimacy, the way it's taught, the way people are behaving in the non-Torah world, in the secular world, tears couples apart, destroys marriages, drags people down into the depths of very shameful behavior, very destructive behavior. That is not intimacy. That is where there's such a split between the Torah view of intimacy and the non-Torah view of intimacy. And we mean well very often, but a lot of that culture fell into us, dripped into our consciousness. And it's heartbreaking. It breaks the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. It breaks the essence of what Klal Yisrael is all about. Now, of course, as we explained many times in Judaism, sexuality is not inherently shameful. The reverse is true. It's a vehicle to bring to the heights of Kedusha and oneness. But it is, like everything else, subject to abuse. It is subject to abuse. It's often extremely grossly misused. But Judaism, Torah-based Judaism, through Taharas HaMishpacha the right way, through learning the halachas of Mitzvahs Aina the right way, brings the sexual intimacy within the context of a marital relationship that is healthy and that is beautiful. It takes, the Torah takes, marital intimacy, harnesses it, its power, laser beam, as a laser beam focus, when it's separated from all the garbage of the world, to achieve a psychological oneness, an emotional oneness, and a spiritual oneness, a certain unity where the Shekhinah comes down and dwells there. The Torah demands discipline and the channeling of this powerful energy. And when you don't have moderation, and when you don't have self-control, or you go the other way and you separate to an extreme, either way, either extreme is destructive. And it's very sad. You know, there's jokes offered by non-Jewish co-workers for Jewish people, and they joke around like that. They make a joke and they say something like this, you know, set a jar every time you and your spouse are sexually intimate during the first three years of marriage. Put a penny in that. Put a penny in that jar. Which means, you know, generally in the early parts of marriage in the secular world, there'll be a lot of sex, a lot of that type of stuff. So you'll have a lot of pennies in there. Then after that, after those first 3 years of marriage, every time the two of you are intimate, remove 5 pennies. Right? And you'll never empty the jar. Now, some were joking about it that way. That's a lot of sexual activity, which very often in marriages wanes to almost being non-existent. The deterioration of marriages is overwhelming. It's a tremendous tragedy. And very often it's the misuse of this aspect. Taras HaMishpacha, on the other hand, transforms intimacy into a noble and esteemed pursuit. It protects couples from destructive overindulgence, overavailability, lack of restraint. It protects them from that. But at the same time, it does protect when used the right way. It protects you from the reverse, from an under usage of it, from drifting apart by becoming roommates, and which is the opposite extreme of that. You have two opposite problems in marriages in our Torah world these days. The overindulgence, the overavailability, the lack of borders and guidelines in Taharas HaMishpacha on one hand, especially with young people, or even with older ones, but if their head's too much in there the wrong way. But then you have the reverse problem of it becoming slowly but surely non-existent, which creates its own set of terrible, serious problems. Yeah, of course, we know that there's more to the marital relationship than the physical act for its own sake. The physical act for its own sake, used only for that, everything will fall apart ultimately. There needs to be, combined with the physical, a psychological factor, an emotional factor, a spiritual factor that goes hand in hand with the physical component of it. It's a multidimensional aspect of connection. Physical component is bound up with it, yes. But if those other aspects, the psychological, emotional, spiritual, are missing, then the physical component cannot for long provide a real satisfaction in marriage. It will not create a fulfillment in marriage. Overindulgence, which happens in the first 3 years of marriage often, is not exactly the healthiest thing. But the absence that happens after 3 years of marriage is, of course, also not the most healthiest thing. Either way, overindulgence in the beginning, drifting apart and separating later, both opposite poles, brings disappointment, brings emptiness, brings a feeling of betrayal. So built into this principle of Nida is an appreciation of that role, of appreciating the psychological and emotional and spiritual components in marital intimacy. Every element deserves its own attention. The Torah rules enables a person, if they're smart enough, man or woman, husband and wife, are wise enough to use it, they can convert, they could take the physical pleasure of it that results in the sexual activity, and they could bring it to a next level, a deeper level of a closeness with one spouse that's unparalleled. In the Torah system, every instance of sexual intimacy has to be combined with a combination of the physical and psychic elements. Psychic means soul-related elements. Torah literature often speaks about a honeymoon that's revisited, and that's recreated every single month for a couple who observes Taras HaMishpacha properly. That's a very ambitious goal. How does the needed discipline accomplish this? It accomplishes it by that first encounter, that being much more than physical enjoyment. It's very different from the subsequent encounters because there's excitement because of the separation prior to that. There's an excitement, there's a novelty, there's a freshness, there's anticipation. If you behave in the right way in that separation period, that's what's going to happen. There will be excitement, novelty, freshness, and anticipation. While the physical element of that first encounter could be duplicated, but the psychic elements is usually not duplicated because we don't work on that part. But with the gift of Taras HaMishpacha, by the way, Taras HaMishpacha means, number one, keeping the Shulchan Aruch, but also keeping that fifth Shulchan Aruch in the head, common sense, to work on this, to recreate the conditions under which that marriage bond can flourish. You have to allow the Torah to guide it. You have to allow Hashem to guide you, to bring that marital success and fulfillment and happiness by keeping the halachas. A marriage relationship cannot flower to its fullest potential without the observance of Taras HaMishpacha. Is it a foolproof guarantee? No, because you have to do work too. But the laws of Nida are necessary to ensure that the blessings of marriage will come. It's not enough. Keeping the halachas in and of itself is necessary but not sufficient. Like everything else, you know, when you have a technical observance of the laws, you could be devoid of the spirit of the law. Same thing over here. You have to keep the halachas of Nida. There's no way around it. That's the only way to have a healthy marriage. But technically observing it alone is not enough. People fail terribly even with technically keeping the halachas because they're missing that delicate balance. They're missing that fifth Shulchan Aruch. They're missing the midos. They're missing the discipline. They refuse to allow the spirit of it to pervade you. They don't know. They don't recognize that the Kedoshim Tiyu, they beat the system in finding certain heterim within it, or the other way around, of being totally separate from one's wife in that period without an emotional connection. Either way, it kills it. Even though you're technically keeping the halachas, either by going around it, like a novel Bishas HaTaira, or going to extreme where you're just technically doing it and you're not investing the emotional connection that's needed. So therefore, again, we're not getting into halachic requirements. That's a halacha aspect of it. But to recognize the full advantage of Taras HaMishpacha's psychological benefits, which we're going to talk about Be'ezus Hashem in the upcoming Shir and Shiurim. But this is really the sight of it, and to remember this always. You keep the laws of Taras HaMishpacha, you behave the right way in the Nida period and in the Torah period, recognize the dangers of the secular culture when it comes to sexuality, the overindulgence on one hand, the pulling away and drifting apart on the other hand. Both are negative byproducts of misuse of sexuality, overuse or underuse in a marriage. And one needs healthy balance and true connectivity with, of course, the other elements of it, not just the physical. But to bring the physical to the next plane, there needs to be an emotional and spiritual attachment that's very, very strong. That's when the physical is at its maximum and at its greatest, healthiest potential. Bracha natzlacha.